has two very interesting parashas close to each other, and Rashi says it's not by accident that Torah writes them together. Look in Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the year lecha bechischa, you should not have it in your pocket, even va'oven gedoyle ktano, two different kinds of weights. Different kinds of weights. In other words, this is a parasha that talks about the halacha of having weights that are completely accurate, and that by doing so, a person will live a long life. And if a person doesn't do so, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu reckons this as a tu'eva, as an abomination. And a very, very strong wording of the pasuk, a person who is not honest with weights. The next pasuk talks about one of the most famous and most important parashas in the Torah, is what we know as parashas Zochir. Zochir Eis Asher Oslocha Amalek. It talks about the famous event that happened when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, where Amalek met them along the way. And you know the parashas Zochir Asher Korcha Baderech Vizanim Chokan Sholem Achrecha. They met you and you were tired. You didn't fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the pasuk says at the end of it, the pasuk says, wipe them out. Don't forget. In other words, there's a lav and nasei. Lasei is to remember, zachoyer. And there's a lav, and there is a transgression if one forgets about Amalek. A very, very serious parasha. According to most Mephoroshim and according to most Poiskim, this is the only part of the Torah that is a chiyuv midai raisa to hear every single year from a Sefer Torah. A very, very important parasha, which seems to be even more important remembering Amalek than it is to remember the event of Har Sinai, which also says a person should remember Yisrael Mitzrayim, which is a man tizkor. Here's the extra lav oli tishkoch. So we have to understand the connection between the parasha that talks about weights that are incorrect or deliberately altered in order to swindle people and Amalek. So Rashi already picks up on that, and Rashi says, Zachoris Hashem Asal Lecha, Rashi in Pasuk Yitzayin, Im Shekarotu B'Midos of Mishkolos. If you lie about weights and measures, have a doyeg Megiro Yehoyev. Be afraid of the enemy coming along, Shnema, and he brings a Pasuk. In other words, this parasha of weights and measures is a warning to a person. If you don't keep that, then you should just know you all you do is inviting enemies like Amalek in the next Pasuk. And Amalek basically came because of weights and measures. Okay, so Rashi says this is what it's all about. Yeah, it's all about Amalek is because of weights and measures. Okay, this is obviously, if you remember, a very clear contradiction to Rashi, where Rashi talks about historically in the Torah exactly where this story happened much, much early on in Parshas Beshalach. Rashi gives a different reason why Amalek came, not because of weights and measures. The pasuk talks about Masa Meriva, where Klal Yisrael complained. And Vainasu, and they tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying Hayesh Hashem B'Kribeinim Ayin. If you look at Shemot Perik Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, it says that they said about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does Hashem live amongst us or not? It says that the next Pasuk, Yovaya Amalek V'lochesh Im Yisrael B'Refidim. Amalek came along and they fought with Klal Yisrael B'Refidim. So Rashi brings down immediately Somach Parashas L'Mikra Zeh. Why does this parashas have a connection? So he says Loima Tomid, ani b'neichem. I'm always here for you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umezumu l'chol tzurecheichem, and I am prepared for everything you need. Va'atim oimen, you say, Hayesh Hashem v'kebeinim, ayin is Hashem amongst us or not. Chayeichem, I promise you in your life, shakelev bo v'noishech eschem, that you will get bitten by this dog. Rashi brings a moshel like a person who's carrying his child on his shoulders, and the child doesn't realize the father's there anymore, and he ignores the father and doesn't appreciate the father. So the father puts him down on the ground for a moment, the dog comes and runs towards his father. Oh, now you realize who I am. So it seems to be a contradiction, asks Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, between why did Amalek come? That Rashi explains the Parshas Beshalach, it's because of a lack of emunah, yeah, of a Yesh Hashem Kirbeinu, and also over here, where we're dealing here with weights and measures. That does Amalek come because of weights and measures. Now obviously, if you think a little bit deeper, it's not a contradiction at all, but I want to bring it out with the most amazing Hamik Dover, the Netziv. The Netziv brings us out, and I believe very, very strongly that every single person should see this Netziv inside and learn it through, because it's the most fascinating Netziv. He says the Gemara that says that Chomor Avoyin Mishkolos Yosa Megillah Arayos, that the hate of a person that uses misleading weights is worse than Gilay Arayus, worse than immorality. That's Gemara in Baba Basra, in the end of Perik HaSvina. Very, very, very serious. So the Hamikdava asks, what does Mishkoidus have a connection to Gilay Arayus? Yeah? Mishkoidus, a person swindling with his money thing, is worse than Gilay Arayus. Number one, why is it worse? And number two, what is a connection that just picks out Gilay Arayus? And he says that this, and this is unbelievably soid. It's a very, very, it's an eye-opener to motivation why a person has any Avera. He says that, as we know, there are three Gimel Averis Chamorus. There are three Averis, what we call three cardinal sins, the three Averis Chamorus, that a person's got to give up their life for rather than do. What are they? Gilay Arayus, Shvichas Tomim, and Avodah Zarah. Gilay Arayus is immorality, Shvichas Tomim is murder, and Avodah Zarah is idol worship. Those are the three things. So he says, why are they so much worse than anything else? Why are they so much worse than Shabbos? Shabbos, you get a worse oinish. A person gets punished worse. A person gets skida for Shabbos worse than Gilay Arayus, which is known as chenek. So why is it that these three averus are considered the averus, where in fact the punishment for other averus are much worse, which shows that they ultimately are more serious? So what's the element that's so choshev in these, that's so important in these, that these have their special place where other various don't? And he says that these three are ultimately the three flags of why a person does any Avera. Any person does an Avera for one of three reasons. Either does an Avera because of not believing in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, or does not take the mitzvah seriously enough. He has a lack of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or lack of emunah in the seriousness of Averis, or the seriousness of the Torah. Torah doesn't mean it, I don't believe in it. That is why a person doesn't vary. Either lack of emunah in Torah or in the mitzvah. Second reason is, a person does an Avera because he has taiva. He believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he can't overcome his desire. A person's drawn by the desire, he gets blinded by the passion of the moment. And the third reason is usually ben odom lechaveroi, when it's a sin between man and man, that is kas, that's anger. So he says, all those three reasons, those three motives, fit into one of the three of Gilgal Averis Chamuras. Avodah Zarah is the lack of emunah, not appreciating enough that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is the all-powerful, that it commands you, and that the Torah is binding, and you don't believe in him. That is why, ultimately, that is the strongest form of going against this emunah, is brought out by the Avera of Avodah Zarah. Understood? The next one is Taiva. The flagship of Taiva is what we know is Gilay Arayus. Ultimate passion, desire, how many people fall for this, is ultimately Gilay Arayus, is immorality. So that is a flagship of Taiva. And the third one, kas, of anger, ben on the chavera, is obviously shvichas tomim, is murder. That was the most. So those three things are ultimately the three principles that are so important that those hold up the human being from sinning, that those stick out as being what one has to die for, more important than any other avera. Gewaldig, beautiful. So he said, when any time a person does an avera, he has to look into himself, why is he doing this avera? What motivates him? For example, he said, let's say a person is Machal Shabbos. He keeps his store open on Shabbos. Why is he keeping his store open on Shabbos? So he has to look into himself. Is it because he doesn't realize that Shabbos is as binding? He doesn't realize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is that serious? He doesn't realize that Torah is that serious? He doesn't really care about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? Then, obviously, he is within the element of Avodah Zarah. There could be somebody who knows there's Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and he goes to Davin every now and then. He goes to Shul. There's some people who went to Shul. You know, that good portion of United Synagogue Jews in the previous generation would, on an early Shabbos, go to the Shul, to Davin Kabbalah Shabbos and Maariv, go home to light the candles after Shabbos. Yeah, after Shabbos come, they light the candles, and go back to the shop to finish off the day's work. So they know there's a Rebbeinu Shel Olam. They're not lacking in emunah, but they have a taiva. They have a taiva. So they have a taiva for whatever they're doing. And he said, anything you do, look into yourself, it's one of those three. So he said, when a person steals something, when a person goes and to a person's house, he sees his diamond watch lying on the mantelpiece, and he swipes it, puts it in his pocket, that is not a lack of emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is taiva. Taiva, therefore, is what we know is gila arayis. But when a person does mishkolis, when a person is premeditated, when a person is focused and calculated how he is going to make a business out of stealing, is basically, that's not passion of the moment, that's not blinded by lust. This is a person who is calculated, taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of his life and making him, the person himself, the one that controls Parnassah. That person is an Oyved Avodah Zarah. That person is a person who's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avodah Zarah. Says the Hamak Dover, what is worse? Avodah Zarah Gil Arayis? Certainly Avodah Zarah is worse. Because Avodah Zarah is much more difficult for a person to control, because he has to refocus his whole brain. He has to readjust all his value system, not just control himself. He's got to re-educate himself. That's Pshat in the Gemara. When the Gemara says that Mishkolos, which is now, as we understand it, under the flag of Avodah Zarah, it's worse than Gil Arayis, i.e. normal Gezela, because Geneva, because over there, that is just a person acting on impulse rather than making a opinion out of what he's doing. So this is Mishkolos. Mishkolos is a concept of cutting HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of your life. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, if that's the case, Klal Yisrael are going through the Midbar. They're looked after by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For them to say, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu, is Hashem amongst us, that is the biggest apokorsis. That's like Mishkolos. A person has panosa, a person has health, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has helped him. Is Hashem amongst us? No, I've got to start stealing and fiddling with the weights. So Rashi is not contradicting himself. Both of them ultimately come from the same source. It's the source of not believing HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Remember, it's not a humorous story, but if it wouldn't be so sad, it'd be funny. There was a certain bocher in a certain yeshiva that I was in who was caught eventually for smuggling cigarettes. He would go every weekly to an airport, make a short flight, buy stuff in a duty free, and make his way out of the back door of the airport without going on a plane. Yeah, with some kind of excuse, and import and bring in these cigarettes on a duty free huge amount. So Matthew Solomon spoke to him at one stage, and he said to him, what were you thinking when, there you are with these cigarettes, and you're stealing, potentially making an enormous chil Hashem, even could be sitting in a jail, he actually sat in jail for a while, what were you thinking when you're carrying the cigarettes? He said, what do you mean? The Mashkiach taught me that Reb Chaim Volozhiner said that all a person has to think about, and he'll never ever be effective at anything from the outside, is Ein Oid Bilvadoi. There's nothing but the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's known as a Briskarov, when he went through and he managed to survive the Nazis. He was constantly thinking, there's no one but the Kodesh Baruch Hu, nobody can affect you. Ein Oid Bilvadoi. So therefore, when I was walking through with all my stolen cigarettes, I was thinking, Ein Oid Bilvadoi, there's no one but the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Matis Yor said, you cannot imagine what a fool you are. You're stealing. You are like a Chil Hashem. You don't believe that Kodesh Baruch Hu can give you money in a normal way. And you're thinking, no one but the Rebbeinu Shalom, ultimate bitachon and emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're the biggest apokeiros out. You're the biggest over the Avodah Zarah. Ein Oid Bilvadoi, while you're serving the Avodah Zarah. That is Mishkolos. Mishkolos is making a shitter out of not needing a Kodesh Baruch Hu in our life. That's Avodah Zarah. You know, Matsyahu once used to say, that person says, "Davening for panasa, vina markenu, kosveina besefer panasa v'chalkola, panasa teiva." Right? So he said, "What do people think?" Rebbein Shleilam, I know how to make panasa. Baruch Hashem, I've got a good business. Do me a favor, don't interfere, don't mess things up. That's not apokeiros. Avinu malkeinu. So that is amalek. One brings on oneself a molik if one has Hayesh Hashem Mikirbeinu, or a person does not have the basics of not stealing from another person and not believing that Kodesh Baruch Hu could be the one who provides for our needs. Why a molik? Why a molik from all people? Bring enemies, why a molik? Now this is fascinating. There's a medrash. The medrash says, how did a molik end up marrying Esau? The Gemara, it's basically the medrash and the Gemara Sanhedrin, The Gemara says that Timna was Bas Malachim Haisa. She came from royalty. And she wanted to marry into Klal Yisrael. She came to Avram Avinu and she said, no, you can't marry in. Yitzchak, no. Yaakov, no. The master seen within her something that was not allowing her to have connection with Klal Yisrael. So she was not pushed away, and she decided, if that's the case, I'm doing everything I possibly can, and I'll become a Pilegesh. I'll become a concubine to Esau. And she said these words. He says, Mutav, it's better to be Tovay Shivcha Le'umazet, to be a maid servant to Klal Yisrael, V'loy Tihir Gevira Le'umay Sacheris, and not to be this important noble woman and be respected in other nations. And she went along and she married Esau. And the Gemara says, and because of that, because they pushed her away, that is why Amalek was born. Amalek was born out of a woman who was pushed away from Ruchnius. Now, we don't know why Yitzchak and Yaakov did that. The Gemara doesn't say that. But the Gemara said, Amalek was born from somebody who was pushed away from Ruchnius. Who did she go and marry? Esau. Esau. Who was Esau? The Gemara says by Esau. So Amalek's mother was Timna, and her position in Klal Yisrael, she was pushed away. Esau, the Gemara says, V'yikru Shmoy Esau, Hu Shov Shabarosi Bo'ilomi. He is a element of falsehood that I created in the world. Now, it's different between Shov and Sheker. Falsehood, Sheker, the first Sheker in the world, obviously, was the snake. He told a lie to Chava. That was a Sheker. What is Shov? So Mefarshim explained, Shem Yishmol, Sokhachov explains, there's a difference between the Nachosh and Esau. There's a difference between a person who is a cheat, a person who knows the truth, he identifies with reality, but he has an ability to manipulate it and to give over the impression that that is not the case. There's a person who knows the truth but manipulates the truth. You get some people who are so disillusioned. No, that's not incorrect word. They are so out of touch with reality that they've actually fooled themselves into believing that they are somebody that they aren't. Esau didn't fool his father. Esau fooled himself to such an extent that when the brachos was given to Yaakov, he could not understand how Alpid Shemayim he was not ready to get those brachos, how he was not feeling to get those brachos. He couldn't understand. He could not understand. He was more chosher than Yaakov. He was totally a person who lived in denial of reality of Ruchnius. So, Amalek was born to Esau, who lived in a crazy world of believing he's doing what was right, with a mother who was pushed away from Ruchnius. This Shidduch created Amalek. This Amalek was an individual that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such a disdain for, such a disgust of, that the Pasuk says his name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never be complete, nor will his chair be complete, until Amalek is eradicated from this world. Zachoyer al Tishkoch, remember, don't forget. There is such an inherent hate between us and Amalek, based on this being of Amalek, that we have to get rid of, that it seems to be the most choshuva mitzvah to an extent that we bring everyone into shul to listen to. Why? So Chaim Shmulevitz explains that Amalek, as we discussed, came from kerirus. It came from coldness. It came from a nonchalant attitude. It came from an attitude of ambivalence, of apathy, apathetic. Yeah, somebody who has absolutely does not get inspired by what he sees around him. He just carries on in self-disillusion. He believes he's doing the right thing. He doesn't see anything that's going to change him. Shamu amim yigazun chilachas yeshu peloshes. Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim. The nations trembled. They heard what happened with Klal Yisrael. They didn't dare in a million years do anything to Klal Yisrael. Comes along Amalek. He doesn't listen, he doesn't see, he doesn't get affected, he doesn't think too much, he lives in his own little world, and what does he do? Achob aderech. He cooled everyone down. What's pshat, says Rashi? There's like a steaming hot bath that everybody's afraid to jump into. And this crazy guy comes on and jumps in a steaming hot bath. This was Amalek. No one dared start up with the Klal Yisrael. Amalek came along and jumped in a bath. What was Amalek thinking? The answer was, he wasn't. Or if he was, he was disillusioned. Disillusioned, not the correct word. Living in an illusion, right? Yeah? He believed in himself something that he clearly wasn't. That is a koyach of Amalek. Amalek has the ability to take a Jew, even a Jew, and a person who can believe in the Rabbeinu Shleilah, and see Nisim. He's seen Nisim, he's seen Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. He's seen Gemaros. He's seen Gadlus. He's seen his tefillahs being answered. He's seen Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He's seen greatness in Rabbeinu Shleilah. He's lived his own life, and it can cool him down, and he can just reach a level where he does the most ridiculous things because he just doesn't have that inspiration anymore. You can cool somebody down to the extent that they're willing to jump in to a boiling hot bath. The most biggest tzaddik can do the most terrible thing if he does not allow his Yirah Shamayim to keep fighting for him. Says Rav Moshe, Klal Yisrael are brought in every year into the shul and say to us, look around you, see for yourself that if somebody does not work on his inspiration, a person does not work on his emunah and betachon, a person does not focus on greatness and growth, then ultimately he can become cold and nothing matters. His knowledge doesn't matter, what he's seen doesn't matter, his status doesn't matter, he's going to do the most foolish things. And that is why Parsha Zohar is that important. Because our whole foundation of who we are is based on that. I wanted to add on, perhaps, what the Hamak Dover says, that he said is, there are three Averis, the Gil Arayis, Shvich Sam Avodah Zorah. Yeah? Is basically, as you said before, Avodah Zorah is the element of Amun and Betachun. That is Rosh Hashanah. Before we start anything of our tshuva, we work on our Rosh Hashanah. We work on Hashem as a Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloich Le'olam Vod. It's all about Malchus. It's nothing about Taiva or Kas. Nothing. We don't mention tshuva. It's all about Rebbeinu Shlom, you're the King. Because we start on, as you mentioned beforehand, the most important thing is to readjust and refocus ourselves of who our Kodesh Baruch Hu is. That is Rosh Hashanah, which is first working on the Avodah Zorah within ourselves. The Mun and Betochem, focusing on that. After that, we have Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is working on saying Rebbeinu Shleilom, Chotosi, Ovisi, Peshati. I made a mistake, Alam Yetzirah to get the better of me. That is working on the Taiva. Oshamnu, Bagavnu, Gazalnu, Debarnu Doifi. That is working on the Taiva. That's working on Rebbeinu Shleilom. I was overcome by the Yetzirah. I didn't mean to do this. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous. I know who you are and know what I should be doing. It was silly. That is the element there of the Gil Arayis. And then Sukkos is the Avoda of taking the Lulav and the Esrog and the Dasim and the Ravos, all different parts of Klal Yisrael, and building ourselves up with the element there of love for the one's friend, when Simchas Torah all make one beat circle and all dance together with the Torah, when one's working on the Shvichas Domim, which is ultimately the Ben Olam Chaveroi, which is the Kas within the person that overrides. No, those are the three things how we move on. And that is, the opposite to that is Amalek, it's Krirus, it's not working on it. It's allowing things to deteriorate, not allowing events and past history and past Sforim of Musa to inspire us. Krirus, that is the most dangerous thing out, ever. And that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu warns us about. I just want to finish off with one very short vort from Hedach Lebowitz. He says, why was Klal Yisrael so feared by the nations? There was like this burning hot bath nobody dared touch. Because in reality, in Alpi Svara, according to logic, there was a very serious danger fighting with Klal Yisrael. Because he had Kodesh Baruch Hu took them out of Mitzrayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu was on their side. Comes along Amalek and jumped into the bath. So what happened now? Nobody feared Klal Yisrael anymore. What do you mean? If Amalek would have won Klal Yisrael, then you don't fear Klal Yisrael anymore. But Amalek got a solid beating. They got a solid beating. They came out of this bath badly burnt. So what's this idea now? Oh, you know, they cooled it down. It didn't cool it down. This is the biggest warning. What happens? Listen to this. Listen to this. It's such a brilliant thought. He says there's two levels of a person not doing an Avera. One level of a person not doing an Avera is knowing our Pisechel that it's not the correct thing to do, but it's in the realm of possibility. Another level is of not doing Avera is it's just, that's not me. It's not shaykh. It's just not possible. It's not even a Yetzirah. It's just, that's not what I do. It's not, it's just, and therefore that his Yetzirah is much less. Of course, when the nation saw Molech getting a solid beating, they saw a Pisechel. Yeah, logically it's the wrong thing to fight Klal Yisrael. But it now became the realm of possibility that it's possible to fight Klal Yisrael where it wasn't possible beforehand. It's not even right or wrong. It's just impossible and possible. And Molech took it with their kriris, with their coldness, from the impossible to the possible. But the possible, obviously my seichel, my intellect, is going to control the possible. Sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes the taiva overrides the seichel. And therefore the possible becomes just possible without the seichel controlling it. That is a danger of a Molech. Says the Henoch Lebowitz, and that is a danger of listening to world news and hearing that he shot up a bank and 15 people on the way in and the way out and doing this aver and that craziness. It comes from the realm of impossibility to possibility. Of course I've got to control myself, yeah, but it becomes possible now. The Gemara says, Kolaroi Soita Bekukuloi, anyone who sees a Soita in her embarrassed state, yeah, in a terrible state of being blown up to pieces, will not drink wine. On the contrary, a person who does see in such a terrible state, he can drink wine because he can see what terrible things wine does. The answer is because he's seen it's possible to do that Avera, and therefore he's got to be even more careful than he was beforehand. How much more, says the Henoch Lebowitz, the first time a person does an Avera for the very first time. How dangerous that is. Until then, it's just not him. It's just not in the realm of possibility. If a person allows himself to open himself up to a verit they've never yet done, then it becomes possible now, and the Yetzirah now is seichel against the possibility. Not the impossibility, and that's it. That's how dangerous one has to be. And that is a Molech. A Molech opens up possibilities for chet. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot is rebooting our seichel. And knowing there's a Rebbein Shleilom, knowing how ridiculous Taiva and Kovod is, and getting back to the roots, getting back to the beginning, and saying Hashem Hu Alekin.